This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Construction and Power Women Investing.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Rossdown here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and the culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That's right, Fred.
And we invite people to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes and TuneIn Radio.
Fred, you know, I'm really happy that you decided to show up to today's show because I know right now
Jeff, over on East Speedway. I show up to every show. You're the one who has a challenge showing up to shows.
Hey, you're lucky.
As a matter of fact, I even brought along George Jensen today.
Just in case.
Just in case you wouldn't show up.
That's right. Good job, George. Well, because it's meditation. By the way, how rude of you to interrupt me. When we're talking about folks, welcome to the Fred Jeff Show.
No, you interrupt me more.
Now,
than
mine
I
was
ever.
More of an interjection than an interruption.
No, they're all the same.
Well, maybe
it's
in
all
your
rudeness.
Book.
It's all Jeff rudeness.
So this first part of our show is brought to you by the good folks at Tucson Happenings Magazine. Check them out at TucsonHappenings.com. A full week of great things to do here in the Old Pueblo at your fingertips. Just go to TucsonHappenings.com.
There's another interruption. There's months and years of things to do, but they only post a week at a time.
Well, that's the point.
Thank you, Fred. I just don't want people to get confused.
Thank you, Mr. Litigator.
After a week goes by, there's nothing to do.
Oh, there's lots of stuff to do. Back to my original point, because right now at 11 o'clock, you could have been enjoying the meditation hour over with your friends on East Speedway at meditation time. I found that one out on TucsonHappenings.com, as well as Blue Star Museums. All the museums, folk, here in Southern Arizona, all of them. Arizona History Museum, Arizona State Museum, MoCA, the Postal History Museum, the Presidio, San Agustin del Tucson, all of them, discounts for military and their family. Get on over there and check out some of the history of the Old Pueblo. And, of course, today, starting an hour ago, is STEAM Sundays, as always, at the Children's Museum of Tucson.
You know, going back to your little meditation point.
Snakes! Sorry, that was earlier
today. There are many types of meditation. One, which I engage in every Sunday at 11,
yes,
is significant abuse. And if I can get through an hour...
No, not significant abuse.
Sibling abuse.
Thank you.
If I can get through a significant amount of sibling abuse for an hour, then I've earned my meditation stripes for the day.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Because, Fred, I'm just trying to keep you on your toes.
Oh, I appreciate
that. Keeping you on your toes.
I appreciate that.
You know, you haven't had anyone keep on you on your toes for the last couple of years. By the way, your son, the wonderful McCoy, on his way to NAU.
Actually, in 4 days. He'll be
checking
in.
Oh, okay. So next Thursday, he'll be checking in.
No, this coming Thursday.
This coming Thursday, right.
He'll be checking in.
So has he met his roommate yet?
No, I don't think so.
No? Oh, that poor kid. There's nothing like going into a college dorm not meeting your roommate before you have to live with him for 6 months.
No, he's
or happy. Longer.
He's excited. Very excited.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. So, folks, lots and lots and lots of stuff to do. Tons of stuff to do, actually. Check out TucsonHappenings.com. Oh, by the way, Fred, did you go to the Salsa and Tequila Challenge last night?
No, you know, we
the Southern Arizona Arts Council had?
We talk about this all the time.
Yes, I love to hear your rants on tequila.
I do not appreciate going to an event that pollutes my dear, sweet agave.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that it was fine for most people, that there was wonderful time to be had by all.
Mm-hmm.
And
they raised some money for charity. So you can't...
But I actually was sitting on... my patio.
Yes.
With a cigar.
Yes.
Sipping pure, unadulterated tequila.
Now, okay, good for you. I'm glad.
100% blue agave, no froofy this or that.
Well, wait a minute. So you're not going to get all excited in October, on October 17th, at the Westward Look for the World Margarita Championship?
Not at all. Because what they're going to do is take perfectly good, pure premium tequila and mix it with crap, regardless of, you know,
that's
the quality
so
of that crap.
Sad.
No, tequila is meant to be sipped on a patio with a cigar. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I would just like to tell our friends at the Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance
Bravo to them.
Bravo to you. Even though Fred is bah humbug on anything that you mix with tequila other than tobacco.
You don't put tobacco in tequila either.
You smoke it with tequila.
That's true.
So there.
That's true. There is a rendezvous coming up on 4th Avenue on Saturday, September 12th. Big fashion show. All of the merchants on 4th Avenue that have any type of clothing or accessories or styling salons will be out there with their wares and services, and it will be emceed by one of our favorite characters on 4th Avenue, Aja from Ahead of Style, who is a wonderful over the top mistress of ceremonies.
Wait, master or mistress?
Mistress of ceremonies.
Okay, gotcha.
And she will rock your socks, and we'll have some more information on that next week.
Wait, is that another 4th Avenue plug?
No, it's not. It's only on 4th Avenue. So, Dr. Julian Ackerley is visiting schools to recruit boys for the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus. All you have to do to get your school involved is to call the chorus office at 520-296-6277, and they will set up an appointment for the wonderful Dr. Ackerley to come out to your fine school and register boys for the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus.
And Julian is a great guy. Great guy.
And I can tell you something. Even the Boys Chorus are ambassadors in blue. They are wonderful talents in and of themselves. But I got to tell you something. Having two boys going through the program, it is...
Your sons, A.J. McCoy.
It is absolutely, wonderful character building for any young man going through those awkward years of adolescence.
Oh, good.
And, Dr. Ackerley does a great job with the kids, anybody who has the opportunity, I think, should encourage their young men to go through the program and become even better young men.
To sing. Rope and travel the world.
Travel the world is a
great
thing.
All right, last couple of things. The Bluegrass Music Jam session tonight at Thirsty's Neighborhood Grill over on Pantano. Lots of bluegrass and the Tucson Ukulele Meetup happening over at the Himmel Park Branch Library. That starts at 2 and goes till 5.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to hear your
good ukulele music.
Yeah, I'm waiting to hear you do something.
Don't trust me. The U of A soccer is playing in Santa Clara today at the Murphy Field at Mulcahy Stadium. That starts at 6. So, folks, if you haven't got the idea yet, there's so much stuff going on in Tucson.
And this is the last week for Summer in the City.
Summer in the City. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Go to TucsonSummer.com to find out about all the discounts going on along the Choo-Choo Train Line and the Golden Mile.
The Golden Mile. All right, folks, we got lots and lots and lots to come on the show today. So stick around for more here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
This bit of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Unicom Graphics, Steel Door, and Sleeping Frog Farms.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother Jeffrey.
Hola, Shukshon.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
Correct, as always, Fred.
And you know, one of those things that is fantastic about our community.
That you can also hear the show on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and on the Fred Jeff Show, FredJeff.com website.
Yeah, you can do those things.
Yes.
But we have a world-class university right here in the Old Pueblo.
You know, the University of Arizona College of Science brings together globally prominent faculty and disciplines at the core of scientific inquiry and education. Did you know that? One of the biggest colleges at the U of A, we are a nexus of award-winning programs that encourage both independent and collaborative-driven research. Our academic departments, schools, and research units encompass the range of physical, mathematical, environmental, cognitive, and life sciences.
Okay, now
who could have possibly said that?
Well, right now is there's a point where you have to admit that you have a liberal arts degree.
Yes, I do have a BS.
No.
Almost got you, Fred.
You got a BA.
Yes, correct.
So we are sitting in one of the coolest areas of the University of Arizona.
The coolest, most underappreciated areas at the U of A.
Well, I don't know if it's underappreciated.
That is underneath one of the most highly appreciated places at the U of A.
Yeah, Rich Rod has made that happen.
Well, Rich Rod and his predecessors, you know, you got to remember some of those guys. Larry Smith and Dick Tomey. Yeah, come on. There were some great coaches before Rich Rod.
What?
Come on.
No.
And where are we today, Fred?
We are. I'm going to test you because you.
We're at the Mirror Lab.
No.
In the basement of the football stadium.
No.
We are not at the Mirror Lab in the basement of football stadium.
No, somebody wrote a big check for you to say this correctly.
That's right. And what is it? Because I didn't write it down. You haven't written it down.
We are
at the, and I don't want to butcher the guy's name.
Well, that's my job.
Yes, that is.
So we are at the Richard F. Caris Mirror Lab.
Mirror Lab.
Mirror Lab. That's what I said.
Yeah, that's close to what you said.
I'll edit it out later.
Oh, thank you very much.
I said Mirror Lab.
And who are we with?
We are with the dean of the College of Science, Joaquin Ruiz.
One of our favorite people, average speller, but good all-around guy. Dr. Joaquin Ruiz, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Outstanding.
Thank you both for coming
so
today.
Let me ask you, did you outlast Jeff in the spelling bee?
I did. That I did.
Don't get all excited, Joaquin. Come on.
I outlasted two people. I was the third one out, or fourth. But anyway.
No, you weren't. I was the fourth one out. I think you were like the sixth one out.
Oh, well, there you go. Almost made it to that
halfway point. Yeah. You know, Fred, that's why they invented spell check. So guys like Joaquin can spend more of his brain power on creating amazing things and collaborations as opposed to learning how to spell some name of a Dutch dog that's on a boat.
And then what's your excuse?
I'm a dumbass. What do you want from me? a degree, liberal arts degree? What do you want?
Not much.
So College of Science, Joaquin.
Yep.
You, if I'm not mistaken, gave Tucson an additional moniker of Science City,
right?
What were you thinking when you came out with that idea?
Well, it's of the lecture series we have once a year, right?
Absolutely,
it's become a big thing. We fill in Centennial Hall with about 2,000 people coming to listen to things about black holes and global climate change and whatnot. We also have science cafes everywhere. We go up to Saddlebrook and we fill up some golf course place with 200 people. So wherever we go to give lectures, there's a mob that comes to listen to what we have to talk about. So I figured, hey, we obviously are in a science city. Not only is Tucson a place where amazing science is performed, but Tucson is a place that appreciates science like nowhere else that I know of. When I tell my colleagues about 2,000 people in a room listening to somebody talk about some obscure thing about science, they can't believe it. Well, we live in an amazing community.
You know, and there's a question. I've known you now for several years. Mm-hmm. We were introduced by our good friend Bob Logan. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions I've always meant to ask you about science is global warming. Mm-hmm. All the rhetoric that's happening about global warming, whether you believe in it, you don't believe in it, what are the scientists at the U of A? Are they doing anything in the global warming arena?
Yeah. Well, we have some of the we have a thing here at the U of A called the Institute of the Environment, and the two directors of the Institute of the Environment, Diana Liverman and Jonathan Overpeck, are heroes in the field of global climate change. Peck was actually, as he likes to be called, Peck was on that program at the United Nations that got the Nobel Prize for writing about global climate change. There is one of the key people that started writing papers about the potential for global climate change, and they did it on a thing called the hockey stick model. So just imagine a graph XY, and in the x-axis you have time, and in y temperature, and for the longest time it was sort of straight and then it shot up that way, so it looks like a hockey stick. Where the people from our tree ring lab.
No kidding.
So we have a strong tradition and a long tradition of looking at global climate change. And to be specific to your question, the general consensus within the scientific community, is that global change is not only happening, but it is in fact caused by human endeavor. And where scientists are still battling it all out are the consequences of global climate change. In other words, we know that the hammer of global climate change is going to be water. Some places are going to rain like crazy. Other places are going to basically be dry. Sea level is going to rise. So water is a hammer. But the details of all of that is where the scientific community is battling it out.
Kind of at odds.
Yeah, well, kind of at odds because the models are very complicated. If we have more hurricanes one year than another, we still don't know if that's just variability within years or that's actually because of global climate change. Those are the kinds of questions that the science is addressing, not whether it's happening or not. And since you're asked the question, though,
please,
you should know that the 10 years ago, one of our lecture series that I just mentioned was about global climate change. And because it was 10 years ago, we're doing it again. So starting at the end of January, we'll have 6 lectures that are focused on global climate change and the what the ocean contributes, what the atmosphere contributes, what the ecology contributes to the whole thing. Then we'll have a little lecture on renewable resources. And then OVERPEC is going to try to put it all back together, not only in a global sense, but what it means for Tucson.
And would it be fair to say that there is no agenda here?
No, there is no agenda.
Okay. Because there seem to be people out there that think, well, they've got an agenda. And there's always an agenda. But this is scientific. You know, you're trying to prove or disprove something without any agenda.
Right. When I started the lecture series now 11 years ago, the very first lecture series was on evolution. And the reason why I decided to do it was because in that year there was a big debate in Pennsylvania about teaching intelligent design in schools. And it went to court and there was a big deal about it. And I felt...
I'm sorry, intelligent design?
Yeah, that's...
It was sort of the new moniker that the creationists created.
So it's basically that evolution really is not what's going on and that there's a designer that basically has created us. So they were putting this as part of the curriculum in K-12 in Pennsylvania. And I got up one day and I spoke to a bunch of my scientists and I said, we need to create a lecture series where we don't really care in the end. I mean, people will vote and will have their own opinions, but we should educate people about the facts. So the first one was an evolution. It was because of that. So going back to agendas, we don't have an agenda except to present the data.
The data.
The data.
The data is the agenda.
The data are the agenda. That's
unbiased
correct.
Data. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's awesome. Now, folks that want to hear some of those lectures from 10 years ago, they're still on iTunes, aren't they?
They are.
So
you can get on the webpage of the College of Science, and all the podcasts are there for 10 years worth of lectures.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, that is a ton of amazing information that you can listen to over and over and over. And you guys are going to update that starting in January for the evolution part.
That's right.
That's fabulous.
Yep.
What else you guys got cooking around here?
Well, I mean, one of the things that we really excel as a university and as a college is in space and planetary sciences. You obviously know about OSIRIS-REx. You know, we're going to next year fire off this machine on a rocket, and it's going to go chase an asteroid. And it's going to suck up some soil and bring it back to Earth.
Okay, folks, so what Dr. Ruiz is referring to, you can go back and we will absolutely repost the link to the show where we did the OSIRIS-REx show. We
actually
went down there.
We're not going to do that because we're doing another Bennu show. There's a Bennu vibration.
There's going to be a Bennu festival.
Oh, a Bennu festival.
Bennuvial. It's called the
Bennuvial. Nice.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking to them in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, but the folks could still go back and listen to the original show because there's lots of good content there. They do that. We had some good liners on that one. But just to give folks a real brief, we're shooting a rocket off of the Earth. It's going to go to where that asteroid is. It's going to circle that asteroid a bunch of times.
For about a year.
For about a year. and then it's going to land on the asteroid, take some soil samples, and come back home.
Just two corrections.
Okay, ooh, that's not bad. It's like, what, maybe
80%? A rocket
accurate?
Is going to send a gizmo.
Okay.
The whole rocket is not going to
gizmo
go.
Is a scientific term,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's absolutely scientific for you.
Thank you.
And then this satellite is going to be the thing that chases the asteroid, which is called Bennu. That's what the reason for all this Bennu thing. And it's going to go around it a lot so that it can understand the properties of this asteroid. And then it's going to approach it, and it's just going to basically almost just bounce off of it with the tip. Just imagine like a big fly with a tip, which it would be what's going to sting the asteroid. And at the very tip, there's the equivalent of a vacuum cleaner, and it's going to suck up the soil and then bring it back.
It's a mosquito.
Right. So it's never actually going to land. And that's one of the challenges of it. And the reason it's not going to land, it's because it's an absolute challenge to land any of these things in such a small object. And
Well, now, wait a second. When you're talking a small object, how big is this asteroid?
I actually don't know the measurements, but it's...
Because I thought it was like the size of a football field or something.
Well, that's tiny for an object that you're trying to catch and land something in.
And you're going thousands of miles an hour.
You have to remember that of all the objects that we've sent to Mars, about 50% of them have not made it. And some of them have missed Mars altogether.
And they just keep going.
Yeah. So, I mean, doing the stuff with such a small object is a humongous deal.
You know, Joaquin, the best part about having you on the show is the information that you bring and the fact that you can kind of distill it down for folks like Fred and I to understand.
I thought Fred was smarter.
Well, you know, some people think that. The downside of having you on the show is we're already out of time.
Ah.
So, folks, we got to take a quick break. We have lots more, though. I'm just kidding. We have lots more to go on the second half of the Fred and Jeff show. And Joaquin, you'll still be here with us to talk about
some more stuff. And Kathy, who's going to talk about the Maryland.
And we'll introduce Kathy. And Fred, I think you're still going to be here too, right?
Maybe. I don't know. But we have a couple seconds. Let's give away some roses real quick. First caller to call us at 520-428-5104. You get a dozen roses from our friends, our really happy friends.
Yes, they are.
At Mayfield Florists. Again, that number is 520-428-5104. And you'll get some really lovely roses.
Yep. So give us a call. We'll dial you in. And folks, stick around because we've got lots more here. Fun stuff here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contracting, Ronstadt Insurance, and Casa de la Luz Hospice.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother Jeffrey.
Hola, Shukshon.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That's exactly right. F-R-E-D.
And we invite people to visit us at fredandjeff.com.
Did I knock you off your pace there for a sec?
No, actually, I get ahead of myself. We invite people to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes and TuneIn Radio.
Or go to the website.
That's the first thing I said.
I know, but people forget after all that other blather.
Yeah, it's true.
So we're here at
a little snuffly nose, so I'll be sniffing.
Right? Is it allergies? Are allergies bugging you?
No, it's just allergies, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Not taking your Claritin or getting your allergy shots?
I don't do drugs.
Really?
Yeah.
Not even Claritin? Over-the-counter generic?
That's like a drug.
$4 at Walgreens?
That's a drug.
That'll clean you right up.
It's a drug.
Or have you been smoking too many cigars?
That's heaven's gift to mankind.
I thought that was tequila.
Well, that too.
Right.
They are paired together.
Ah.
So we are sitting here. Jeff, I'll give you another opportunity to do it correctly.
Yeah. All right, let me see your notes.
No.
So I can read them. You put your mouse over your notes. Go ahead, Fred.
We are at the Richard F. Karras Mirror Lab.
Good job, Fred.
In the heart of the universe. Well, it's not.
I wonder if Richard Karras was any relation to Alec Karras, the guy who played. You know, he was Mongo on Blazing Saddles.
And he was Webster's papa.
Yeah, he was. And yeah, he was Webster's dad, and he also
he played football apparently
for the Detroit Lions. And here we are at the Mir Lab underneath the University of Arizona football stadium.
That's true.
Wow, it just all makes sense now.
No, it still does.
This guy is definitely not related to Alec Karras.
So we've been talking with Dr. Joaquin Ruiz, who is the dean of the College of Science, and he's been showing us up with all of his mathematical skills.
His 50-cent words.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, Joaquin, how long have you been the dean of the College of Science?
About 13 years.
13 years?
Mm-hmm.
You having fun still?
I love it. It's the best job I've ever had. I've been at the University of Arizona since 1982. Obviously not as a dean, as I came as an assistant professor, and it's just a blast.
Did you ever teach any astronomy classes?
No. I used to teach a course on introduction to Earth sciences, and I used to say a few things about...
This is a star.
About this.
This is dirt. What, Earth sciences, what is that?
Geology.
Oh, okay, there you go. There's the 50-cent word. I say dirt, you say geology.
Of course.
Cool. So what fun things are happening? Earlier we talked about the lecture series that's going to happen next year. But we're sitting
this coming year.
January.
Yeah.
Next year.
Oh, man, we're already in August.
That's right. We're almost to September.
Wow.
The year has flown.
Yeah.
So we're sitting in this awesome mirror lab. What's going on here? What happens here?
Well, let me just tell you a little bit about the mirror lab. But more, let me start a little farther back. One of the founding departments in the college, in the University of Arizona, was astronomy. Astronomy has been and is still the what defines in many ways the University of Arizona.
Now, was that department started in collaboration with the Vatican, or did that come later?
No, it came when the university was founded.
Wow.
So it was one of the early departments, and from this department, it spawned tree ring research. So it was the first director of astronomy was the one that invented tree ring research. The Department of Astronomy also spawned out the Department of Atmospheric Sciences and the College of Optical Sciences. So it's an amazing program, and it's been an amazing program forever. These days, what this department is known for, it's known for a lot of things, but one of the things it's known for is for the creating the largest mirrors for telescopes in the world. And that's what we do in the Mirror Lab. And the mirrors and the technology that's created here is used to address two really important questions that astronomers are still tackling. One of them is whether there are planets in other solar systems that may have life. And imaging an Earth-sized object in another solar system is a real challenge, because you can imagine a sun, a star, which is incredibly bright, big, with a tiny little dark object next to it. So first, getting to be able to image that is a big deal, and then being able to figure out what the composition of their atmosphere is, which is what we will use as a proxy to see if there's possible life in there, is a big thing. The kind of mirrors that we do here, the technology that's done here is done for that. The other big quest in astronomy that mirrors that have been built here are also used for is to detect the two things that actually make most of the universe. One of them is called dark matter, and the other one is called dark energy. And of course, that shows a tremendous lack of imagination of astronomers. But the bottom line is that after studying the stuff that they can see, things like the expansion of the universe, the way that light bends in the universe, all of these things that astronomers can observe tell them that they really don't understand that there's an energy out there, and that there's matter out there that they don't know what it is, and that actually makes up about more than 90% of the universe. So these telescopes that are being created with the mirrors that are being created here are going to be really at the forefront of astronomy for the next decades. Who knows?
And are these telescopes being used here?
Well, they're not built yet.
Okay.
So right now, I mean, there are a bunch of telescopes out there, but the two big telescopes that were designed with the help of people from the Department of Astronomy here. Both of these telescopes are going to be built in Chile. One of them is called the Giant Magellan Telescope, and it's the equivalent, basically, it's going to be the equivalent of about a 25-meter mirror.
Wow.
It's a bunch of, it's segmented telescope. Kathy, I'm sure, will tell you more about this. And the other one is called the Large Synoptic Space Telescope, or Space Synoptic Telescope, LSST, I can't remember what it is.
Large Synoptic Survey Telescope.
Survey Telescope. And that one is to look for dark matter and dark energy in particular. Mm-hmm. So those two haven't been built, although the mirrors, some of the mirrors for the Giant Magellan Telescope have already been built. And the mirror, the primary mirror, the most important mirror for the LSST has also been built.
When you say built.
Built, you're going to actually get to see it. After your show, we're going to walk around, and you're going to see these things being built here. They were built, the design of the mirror lab, the way that these mirrors are created, were all an invention of our resident genius called Roger Angel, who decided that instead of having a bunch of small mirrors, which is another way of making a very large mirror, it's best if you have one mirror. And the shape of the mirror is also important, because if you make the shape properly, then the size of the structure that you have to put the mirror in can be smaller. So it has all kinds of reasons for it to exist. And we haven't had a chance before your show to actually see this, but I can guarantee you that it's going to blow your socks off. And before I introduce Kathy, I just want to point out to your listeners that we do have tours of the Mirror Lab. So if anybody's interested in coming to see what is one of the scientific masterpieces in the world, sitting underneath the football stadium at the U of A, I'm happy to say over and over again that the best thing that happens in our football stadium is science.
Oh, come on.
Well, it's true. I mean, because if you think about it...
Oh, you guys. We're going to have a great team this year.
Okay. I'm still waiting.
The tree ring guys used to be here.
They used to be here,
They got their own place now.
They got their own
place. But the Mirror Lab has been spectacular. I remember back when I was in high school, late 70s, early 80s, that was sort of the era when all this stuff kind of was happening.
Yeah. So I would like to have Kathy tell us a little bit about... Kathy is in charge of these tours, for starters, and a great person, and she can tell us a little bit about the Mirror Lab and the details, so I don't have to make it lie.
Perfect. So Dr. Ruiz is talking about Kathy Duncan here with us on the big show. She's a community relations person for the Stewart Observatory and the Richard F. Karas Mirror Lab.
Folks, he was pointing at me, and I locked up. Again, literature. I locked up. So Kathy...
Wait, spell Karas.
K-A-R-I-S.
No, you already missed it.
K-A-R-I-S.
No.
C-A-R-I-S.
You got
there
it.
There you go.
I hope you go to the spelling bee next year with us.
I'm going to study next year.
Okay.
Kathy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Where are you from?
I'm from Tucson.
Really?
Yes.
Born and raised?
I am a native. Yes. I know not that many of these
days. There's four of them. Well, George, where are you from?
Born in L.A.
All right, get out of here.
Grew up in Sedona.
There you go. So there's three of us in the room. Mm-hmm. Good for
Excellent.
You. Where'd you go to school?
On at Catalina in the U of A. So Catalina High School in the U of A.
All right. So. Catalina, back when Fred and I were going to high school, that was our arch nemesis. You know, we South Point boys.
Oh.
Yeah, we know.
Close, but not too far.
We know.
Cool. Not the best football team.
Hey, but the marching band, we used to call them the Marching Five.
Yes, they were Marching Five. The South Point Marching Five.
And they had heart.
We had a very small marching
they
band.
They had heart and spirit.
And soul.
And soul.
And a few instruments.
And five.
and the nuns were praying really hard.
Oh, Fred. So how long have you been here at the Stewart Observatory?
I've actually been here about 12 years. That was Stewart Observatory, and I've been working with the Mirror Lab for about 8 years now on that. And I do the tours and coordinate the tours for the public. We also do educational school groups and various other groups that come in here, and we show them what we're doing at the Mirror Lab.
Well, we want to know all about this, but we have to take a quick break.
Okay.
So folks, stick around, because we've got more with Kathy here at the Karas Mirror Lab. Fred, I got that one.
Richard F.
Richard F. Karas Mirror Lab. So stick around for more here on.
He wrote a complete check, not just a half check.
Okay, folks, stick around for more here on the Fred and Jeff Show. We'll see you in a minute.
Great.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Anthony's Cigar Emporium, Power Women Investing, and Mayfield Florist.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Rostad. I'm here with my little brother Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That is exactly right, Fred.
And one of the cultural icons of the Old Pueblo.
Who are?
One of the cultural icons.
Oh, I thought you said, oh yeah, go ahead. Yeah, one of the cultural icons. Actually, I would say we've got at least two of them here.
Which two?
Well, we've got U of A football, cultural icon.
Yeah.
And we have the Mirror Lab, Richard F. Karas Mirror Lab.
Wow. It only took you three segments.
You had to look down at the piece of paper to see if I was right.
No, I was shocked. Shocked and stunned.
Yes, keep going, Freddie.
So we have the dichotomy of community of the community.
Right.
We have the eggheads and the meatheads.
Oh, the eggheads and the meatheads.
All joined together at the stadium with the Mirror Lab.
Dr. Ruiz, does Fred offend you by referring to you as an egghead?
No. I was wondering if I was a meathead or the egghead.
So we've been talking with Dr. Joaquin Ruiz, who is the dean of the College of Science. And talking about, you know, the lecture series that's coming up. And
that's a big job you got.
A whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, that's a big job. Do you guys have any economic impact in Southern Arizona?
We sure do. And there's going to be a document that we're working on showing just the economic impact of planetary sciences and astronomy. I won't say more because it's going to blow your socks off. But the economic impact is enormous. I mean, just the direct... The direct impact, without all the multipliers, the College of Science budget from the state and from tuition is about $90 million.
Wow.
My budget, when I take into account all the grants and contracts that come in from the feds, is about $230 million.
So you can afford the good tequila.
What I was going to say is that if this was a company and you were buying stock in this company, you'd be doing very well. But all this money that comes in from the federal government and from contracts with industry allows us to hire people and then go to the stores and whatnot, and the multiplier effect. Oh, so the economists are actually working so that we have proper numbers. But the economic impact is enormous because these people wouldn't come to work here. Our salaries are reasonable. So then the buying power of these individuals is great.
And the work is completely meaningful.
That's right.
Yeah, and along those lines, we were talking with Kathy,
Kathy Duncan is the community relations person.
For the Stewart Observatory.
And the Richard F. Karas Mirror Lab.
All right. And now, as community relations for the Stewart Observatory, what's your role over there? What are you doing over there?
Part of what I do is working with the community and doing education. We get speakers out to groups, and as a land grant facility, also educating the public on the different aspects of the university and the science and other aspects that go on. So the Mirror Lab obviously is one of them, and Stewart Observatory. We have a lecture series in the fall as well that we have astronomy lectures Monday nights, about every other Monday night, starting in September. We have different topics and different astronomers who come, and they're open to the public.
Where are these at?
These are at Stewart Observatory, which is right here on campus off of Cherry Avenue. And it starts at 7:30, and we have various topics on astronomy. We talked about dark energy, dark matter, and the public is welcome to join us.
So now hold on a second. Lots of folks know the Flandreau Planetarium.
And we're right catty-corner across the street from Flandreau Planetarium.
Perfect.
Okay. And then after the lecture, weather permitting, you can go up in the telescope that's there at the on the facility and do some observing.
That's awesome.
On that. So,
you're hoping you show up when it's not a cloudy night.
Yes. Yes.
Because what are you guys showing on? How far can you see on that telescope?
It depends. They look at different sources, which are up during the different months. So in September, we'll be looking at some sources, October, other sources. So you get a nice variety. So when you come for the different lectures, you're going to get to see different objects in the sky.
Very cool. Is there a list of the lectures?
Yes, you can go to the Stewart Observatory website under lectures, public lectures, evening, and you can see the different topics that are available there.
Very fun.
I'll get you a list of them so that you can tell your audience about that and they can come join us.
Yeah, well, folks, we'll post that on the Fred and Jeff website on the podcast, you know, for this show. You'll see it on Monday or Tuesday whenever Fred rolls out of bed and decides to post a show.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Kathy also supports and helps run a program that we have in Mount Lemmon called the Mount Lemmon Science Center.
Adam Block.
Yeah, we had Adam on the show.
That guy is like an award-winning astrophotographer.
That's correct.
Yeah. Some of those pictures are just brilliant.
Amazing what Adam's done up there. Right. So you work with Adam up at the sky?
I do. I work with Adam up there, and we do the public stargazing program. Adam has a phenomenal program up there on the mountain where they do observing most nights for the public. He has a great program. It's a 5-hour program, and you get to use a 32-inch telescope, which is one of the largest public viewing telescopes in the Southwest. So you're high on a mountaintop on Mount Lemmon, and you get to use a big telescope, and you're going to see things farther and clearer than you ever can anyplace else. So
could you get him to ask him if he could return our calls?
I will.
Because we're trying to get him back on the show, and he's just too big for us anymore.
He's been busy publishing a lot of the NASA astronomy pictures of the day. Yeah. He had one just recently again.
Yeah, I remember,
as you said, he takes phenomenal images.
Yeah, when he was on the show, his schedule, his daily routine is insane.
Yes, he's very busy, especially this time of year. You might be able to get him because it's monsoon season, you know, a little difficult viewing on that. But yes, once these clouds clear up, he's going to be a busy guy.
But she's a connection.
So see,
call her, she responds.
I do.
Do you hear that, Adam? So Kathy, what if I've got family, my wife's side of the family lives out of Tucson. They're rolling in for the holidays in November and December. We had no idea that we could come down to the Stewart Observatory, that we could do all that kind of stuff, then go up to Sky Island, do that stuff with Adam. I mean, we could literally have a whole astronomy kind of a...
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
You can plan the whole trip. We do a mirror lab tour. We do mirror lab tours.
Tell us about that, though.
Our tours are throughout the Monday through Friday on that, and there are various times during the day. They're 90 minutes on that. We take you through the entire process of how we make the telescope mirrors and the projects that we're working on, and you go through the facility and get to see the amazing engineering and optical work that we do here.
That
is not done any place else in the world. This is the only place in the world that makes these types of telescopes, and we're making the largest and most advanced telescopes in the world.
And it's open to the public.
And it is open to the public.
So you're not hiding, there's no secrets that you guys are hiding here that we couldn't come in and, you know, Fred's got an affiliation with the Chinese government. He would sneak in and figure some stuff out.
No, I just
want to scratch my initials into one of the mirrors. It'll be the FR cluster. Way! Yeah.
So we have... the next one we'll talk about that. So we do have tickets on people purchased online. They can go to the Mirror Lab website to do that, or they can call in through the Stewart Observatory or the Mirror Lab.
Perfect.
On that. And then for the Sky Center, also has a website. You can purchase tickets on there, and it shows the different nights that are available on that. And we do suggest that you buy soon because it's very popular.
Oh, yeah.
So they do tend to fill up. But you can do this. You can go to Flandreau Planetarium. You can see one of their new full dome shows there.
We've seen some of those full dome shows. They're fabulous.
Aren't they? Oh, very
absolutely
exciting. So you can have an entire astronomy day and night.
Oh, that's great. And then over to the Steward Observatory.
And then come to Steward Observatory.
So there's four options, boom, mm-hmm. boom, boom, and it mm-hmm. sounds like they're all mm-hmm. so different from each other. It's not like you're repeating anything.
Oh, no, no. You get all different aspects of astronomy on that, so you learn all new things as you go through the process.
That's awesome. So your job, you're kind of a ping pong ball. You're kind of all over the place. You're at the Mirror Lab, you're at Steward, Sky Center, Flandreau.
Absolutely. It's fabulous.
You're the grand dame of astronomy here at the U of A.
Found that. Well, thank you. Well, we really enjoy giving people an opportunity to learn more about science and astronomy and what we're doing here on campus. And
that's awesome. So give us a phone number for folks that they should go to call to get tickets for the Mirror Lab.
So the Mirror Lab, you can call 520-626-8792. And for the Sky Center, you could call 520-626-8122.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Let me just add to Kathy's point. I mean, we take educating folks very seriously, and we also do tours of the biosphere, of the tree ring laboratory, so if anybody's interested in that, of Tumamoc Hill, which is basically where Tucson began.
Yeah, I just read about that. That sounds interesting.
So that's right. So there's astronomy is very special, but we do even more than that if anybody's interested and if anybody's interested in seeing any of these facilities, they should call 621-4090, and we can get them connected.
Awesome. Schools or individuals?
Mm-hmm. Both.
All right, that's great. Well, thank you so much for what you guys do. You, Kathy, you, Joaquin, you guys make Tucson a great place just by being you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I'd say the same about both of you.
But you don't know us very well. Thank you, Joaquin. All right, folks, we'll see you next week here on The Fred Jeff Show. Let's talk about the good time. Let's talk about the good time. I wish I could just go back to the days I'm speaking of. When a friend would meet you and a smile would greet you.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Sleeping Frog Farms and Fred's Meditation Salon and Tequila Lounge.